this morning, and new faces. What a blessing it is to worship the Lord together, and I'm looking forward to what God has for us this morning. Just want to praise God before I get going in the message. I just want to thank God to see Brother Tim here this morning. Amen. That is a blessing. I got the email saying that Brother Tim is home, but when I saw his face, I said, Brother Tim's at church. Amen. Well, it's good to see the Lord has him here this morning. Let's keep praying for Brother Tim and the family, that the Lord just continue to give grace and healing there. But so good to see him and his smiling face this morning, such an encouragement to us all. Well, I hope you all had a good week last week, and I hope you're ready to start a good one this week. And with the Lord's help, it will be a good one. Amen. And we had a good week, and we're still getting settled into the house. And people have asked me several of you, saying, well, Brother Jennings, are you settled in yet? And I said, well, we're in. I don't know about the settled part. We're still working on that one, but it is slowly but surely getting organized. And Joanna with the newborn, and she does what she can, but it is coming along. And just thank you for all the help you've been. Thank you for those that were praying for Mary Ann. She had a wonderful first day of school and there at Athens Christian and preschool. She loves her teacher. And it kind of broke my heart, though, I have to be honest with you. And not just the fact that I had to drop her off, but what she told me. On the way to school, I'm thinking she's going to be clinging on to Daddy, you know, with all she has. But when we get to school, before we get there, I say, now, honey, I will stay in class with you the whole time. I have no problems with that. But if you want me to go, I'll go. I don't think she hesitated but a couple seconds, said, Daddy, you can go. Well, I guess the whole embarrassment thing starts already. I thought that was just more in the teen years, but anyway, I was glad. But you prayed for me. I was a little concerned. Some of the things that she told me that day when she got home, I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm a little concerned. And she, one of the first things, just randomly told me. She said, Daddy, is it possible that Thomas and I get married? Where did that come from? And I said, no, honey, that's your brother. He's your brother. You can't marry him. You might be in his wedding, and he might be in your wedding one day, but you guys can't get married. And she said, well, does that mean I have to find somebody to get married? And I'm thinking, is this a dating line at pre-K at Athens Christian? My goodness. Matchmaking already. I'm going to have to talk to Ms. Cantrell about that Monday. What are y'all teaching these kids? No, she was very excited, and she was already talking about the Bible time they had, and we're very encouraged, and she was a blessing. Well, if you turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is where we'll be this morning together, and we're going to be going basically just in that book, and we're going to be throughout that book. We're not just going to be in one chapter. You know, it's interesting how the Lord has been leading in my message preparation, and as I've been praying and the Lord's been leading, He keeps bringing me back to this subject. I don't know how long I'll be with this, but it's interesting how the Lord has led in us. We were in it Wednesday night talking about, you know, the suffering of the believer, the sufferings that Christians do go through, and even when they're doing right, the sufferings that they go through, and how Satan will try to attack us, especially during those times we are most vulnerable. But you know, that was sort of a spiritual battle that we talked about. And then it was interesting, as I was praying up to the day last night in the teen activity, Brother Charles, without me even talking to him or him talking to me about what he was going to bring, it was basically on spiritual warfare, talking about the whole armor of God and the importance that we are in a war with the enemy, which is Satan. He is the adversary. He opposes us, and he opposes anything that goes for Jesus Christ. And he brought such a wonderful challenge. And this morning, I want to continue that thought. And I just feel in my heart, as I've prayed and as the Lord brought us here, we've been here now, that's our second Sunday, the Lord has reminded me, saying, son, don't think for a minute that with the beginning a new chapter at this church, you know, Satan's going to be on you. He's going to be on the church. He's going to be on the people. He's going to be on you. He's going to be doing everything he can to cause disruption. And
something that I believe the Word of God gives us some clarity on how we combat the enemy. And especially in 2 Corinthians, I find it interesting what Paul is bringing forth here. And we'll get into that more in a few minutes. But, you know, something that reminds me of Satan is, and I believe Brother Bill said it so wisely the other night in prayer meeting. I don't know if you remember this, Brother Bill, but we were just talking about how Satan is the greatest magician in the world. The greatest magician in the world. He knows how to trick people. He knows how to deceive people. He knows how to make one people see one thing when actually another thing is happening. And he is a master magician. But I'm thankful that even though he is so intelligent, and I'm thankful that even though he is the great magician, the master magician, he is not so much a magician that we can't stand against him. And we can't pick up on his devices. And we'll talk more about that. But you know, I think about things that are deceiving, that prey on other things by using their deception. You know, I think of the carnivorous plant, the Venus flytrap. There are several carnivorous plants out there, but one that's most well known is the Venus flytrap. Has anybody ever seen one of those in real life? They're pretty amazing. They are amazing. But you know, it's interesting how it preys on those little insects. That thing is opened up and it's beautiful. All the different colors. And what it does is it secretes the nectar on its open traps, and then the insect comes in with the smell of that sweet nectar that it puts out. And the moment that that flytrap detects that insect in there well enough, it's got it. That little insect who was creeping inside, maybe if an insect could talk, I don't know, maybe it's saying, "Wow, doesn't that smell good? What is that? Hey, y'all, look at this thing. It's beautiful. Look at the colors. Check out the smell. Let's go check it out. Let's go have a buffet, if you will. Let's go." And man, that little fella gets up in there, whether it be an ant or a spider or whatever it may be, it crawls up in there, and when it thinks it's going to have a buffet, it becomes a buffet. And I want to tell you something, church. We would be foolish not to think that Satan is the same way. He is like that flytrap. He is deceiving us, thinking, and he gives all kinds of nectar, by the way. He's got all kinds of ways to lure us and to make things smell good to us and make things look good to us, but it's a deception. And I want to say, if I had to leave it right there, there would be some fear in here about that and in a sense be scared and worried with no hope. But I want to tell you, God gives us ways to combat that, to be aware of that. And Paul does that for the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians. And by the way, you remember in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to believers that have made some turnarounds. They're seeing some victory. You read 1 Corinthians and you know automatically, man, Paul is dealing with problem after problem after problem, carnality after carnality after carnality, and he's dealing with it. But you move into 2 Corinthians and man, you see much more commending. Like, man, you Corinthians are growing. They're not perfect, but they're growing. They're making improvements. And by the way, anybody, this is a true fact, anybody that's trying to do something for God is going to get opposition from the enemy. Mark it down. We will face opposition from the enemy as we're trying to do something for God. And even the Apostle Paul, a man committed to the call of God, he did seek opposition, very much so, in the attacks of Satan. And now listen, I'm not suggesting here this morning that we have to look for the devil behind every bush. I'm not saying that, because I know we have another great enemy. It's called this flesh, this old nature. Brother Ricky talked about that in Sunday school this morning, did a great job, and it's true. But I want to tell you something, we do need to be aware of the enemy and his tactics and what he is seeking to do. As we talked about Wednesday night, he's seeking to destroy and devour. And Paul gives reference to Satan in this book five times. In fact, he mentions it more in the book of 2 Corinthians than any other book in the Bible that he wrote, any other letter that he wrote. He mentions it, and he talks about mainly those that are serving God in the context of those trying to do something for the Lord. And like I said, Satan's not too interested and those on the sidelines. He's not. These ministries and these churches, I don't have any in particular in mind as I say this, but there are ministries out there, and they are just content as can be right there with their church, their four walls, their air conditioning. They got a piano. They got the things that they need. And folks, they are just content. And we'll just get together every once in a while, a little fellowship. You come into church and then you leave and just do your thing and just come back and see us on Sunday. They're content the way they are. Listen, the devil is happy about those type of people. He doesn't have to mess with them. He just leaves them to themselves. But the ones that the devil is after are the ones that saying, we want to grow. We want to change. We want to become better servants of the Most High God. Those are the ones that Satan is coming after. And I believe the Corinthians here were trying to do that. They were seeing victory and they were trying to make some progress. And Satan met them head on. And that's what I believe he will try to do as we continually go after people for the Lord Jesus, as we try to encourage believers and exhort believers, and as we try to evangelize lost people that know not the gospel, we will face this great opposition. You know, seeing Satan in 2 Corinthians, let's look first of all, I want us to see him in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. If you go over to chapter 2, I'll begin reading and verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up. Get that, swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I in the person of Christ. Now get verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see, this church was seeing some victory. They were moving forward. Guess where Satan's first point of attack was? It was in the area of unforgiveness. It was in the area a brother had most evidently been in sin, some immorality, and had sinned against God, and he was disciplined for it. He was held accountable for it, but there was repentance. This individual had turned and made a change, and there were some here that were not willing to forgive. They were holding a grudge. They were seeking to not let that go and forgive completely in Christ Jesus, as Paul said. And the first thing we see here in his attack into this church was he was baiting with bitterness. And you better believe that he will seek to do that in anywhere he can. Because one thing's for sure, and I think we could all say amen here, we will all offend each other at one point or another. Amen? Ask my wife. I offend her all the time. I'm just kidding. But she's quick to forgive, and I praise God for that. But we do. We're human. We have that nature. Well, like Brother Ricky was mentioning this morning, we'll say things we didn't mean to say. We could take it back. We'll not say things that we should have said, things that were just done, actions in the past, things, activities that were done. And you know what? If we don't let that go in Jesus Christ and forgive in Jesus' name, Satan will hijack that bitterness. And he will use it to his advantage. You notice that word advantage. What is that simply saying? It's saying that Satan has a plan for each of us. He has devices, as it says there in verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, For we are not ignorant of His devices. Well, what are His devices? That word devices simply means like a plan. If you will, some of you that are builders, architects, you know that thing? It's almost like a blueprint, if you will. It's all, the Word of God is saying that Satan has a blueprint for you and for me. And he wants to use it. He wants it to fulfill it. And by the way, God's got a blueprint too, amen. And that's the one we want to be on. That's the one we want to follow. But Satan has a plan. He has a device for each of us. Because guess what? All of us are different. He knows all of our weaknesses. He knows yours. He knows mine. He knows every one of them. And he will go after those. He will plan his blueprint, if you will, his plan around those weaknesses. And by the way, it's one of the best things we can do as believers is to identify our weaknesses. And just be totally transparent with God and come before the throne of God when you pray saying, Lord, you know I am weak in this area. And you know that I have a tendency to sin against you in this area. And if I were you, I would simply put more attention to that, memorizing verses that deal with that specific temptation. And when you pray, asking specifically for victory over that area. That was a little side issue there, but we know that Satan has a plan for us. And God's thoughts are precious towards us, by the way. But Satan's thoughts are pernicious. They are against us. They are to oppose us. He has no good feelings about any of us here. And by the way, Satan does not play fair. Does he? Doesn't that just bug you to all get out? Especially, you know, when somebody cheats against the Bulldogs. I mean, that's just, man, that ain't right. But honestly, it just bugs us when you are observing a game or you're participating in a game and somebody cheats, you want to call them out on it. Hey, you can't do that. Well, listen, I want to tell you something. You can't say that to Satan. That's his nature. He don't know any other way but to cheat. He's a liar. Jesus said he is from the beginning. It's his nature. And he will cheat every time. He doesn't play fair. That word advantage seems to mean to cheat, to defraud, to outwit, to be greedy of. And he does not care at all. He will take you as much as you will give to him. And he does not play fair. And one of the things that we know about this thing of him taking advantage of, that's why Paul said, we must not be ignorant. Ignorant. You know that word ignorant carries the idea of sort of being oblivious, sort of just out, just well, you know, no serious concentration about that, no serious considering of the fact that the devil has a plan, the devil has devices to take me and to trap me and to destroy me. But we need not to be ignorant. In fact, I encourage you, church, if you don't already, when you pray to the Lord, and I encourage you every prayer. That's between you and the Lord. But I encourage you every prayer. Ask God specifically, Lord, help me not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Let me not be ignorant, but let me detect. Let me understand. Let me sense if the devil is trying to put something on me like that Venus flytrap does to those insects. Lord, if I'm like that little insect and I'm just crawling right into the game of Satan, God, do something. Stop me. Something to wake my senses. Because Satan has got some serious plans and serious tricks that he wants to overtake us. And one of the ones he was using here was bitterness. Can I encourage you, if you're here today, and I mentioned this the other night, if there is some bitterness in your heart, don't let Satan have that as a playground. Just like Paul encouraged these believers here. He says, look, you need to forgive. He says, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. And what he's saying, listen, just like Jesus loves you, even with all your sin and all your backslidings and all your mistakes and all your foolishness, just like Jesus forgives you, brethren, forgive that brother. Love him. Confirm your love towards Him. And I just want to say that to you today. If you are harboring, if somebody has done something to you, where it has offended you, and it's controlling you daily, forgive. It's a powerful tool that God has given us, an act to forgive. But not only to forgive, but we see here it goes more than that. Now this is where it really goes against the flesh. Not only does God exhort us to forgive those that have offended us, you know what else He's teaching in that passage? To come alongside. Not only do I say, brother, sister, whomever it may be, even a lost person, by the way, that does not know Christ, and they don't know any better, by the way. Not only is it forgiving, but it's coming alongside them saying, I love you. I love you. And I'm thankful that God has forgiven me. I'm thankful that you have forgiven me, and I can forgive you, and I can love you. Coming alongside, the passage teaches. And that's something that Satan, it drives him nuts. If there's a such thing as bugging the devil, just start forgiving folks. He hates that. It drives him nuts. Man, they forgive? How can they do that? Man, that person offended them. I tried to convince them that that person hated them, that they didn't ever need to forgive that. But boy, when a person gets a hold of the Holy Spirit, or should I say the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them, there's forgiveness. The second way that Satan likes to come in and cause disruption, we're seeing Satan in 2 Corinthians, is that he seeks to blind the lost. And he seeks to blind in general. But look over there in chapter 4. Just going over, we're seeing Satan in 2 Corinthians, ways he's trying to wreak havoc. Paul mentions him again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says here in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now get this. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Wow. You know what another way that Satan tries to get in and wreak havoc and cause problems? He blinds people. Yes, he blinds lost people, and that's who the context is, but he blinds church members too. But you see, why would Paul tell them this? Because he wanted them to remember that they had a great responsibility. Satan is seeking to blind people. Brother Jake and I were talking about this the other day, just right out in the parking lot, a co-worker of his that he's burned about, and I am too, And I'll mention more about that at the end of the service. We're going to have a special outreach to some folks. But Satan has blinded a lot of people. In our own community, there's these cults. I love them because Jesus loves them. But the people have been deceived. How is that? And by the way, Satan, when he blinds, he does a good job of it. Being over working with Muslims in North Africa for 3 years, I can see the effects of the blindness of Satan. But I also have seen the effects of the glorious light of the gospel. As I give the Word of God, and I take the Word of God, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I give it unto them, it's a shining light. And boy, you just keep shining that light, and the Holy Spirit takes that light and convicts their hearts and draws them, and they become born-again believers. But that person is in a church where they live by fear because they have to keep the law. They keep the law. That's my security. I keep the law. And you know what Satan's done with a lot of these cults and a lot of these false religions? What has he done? He has taken some truth. He's taken some truth and changed it around. Again, trickery. Because think about it. Even in the beginning, Satan, he didn't even try to go saying there was no God or trying to be coming from an atheist standpoint. He didn't say, listen, if there is no God. He just said, hath God said? He was just trying to twist the truth. And that's what Satan does. But I want to tell you something. God has put churches like Crooked Creek Baptist Church right here. And we have been here. This church has been here for over 200 years seeking to shine that gospel light. seeking to shine that gospel light, to be a lighthouse in a community that has been blinded by Satan in many ways. And I'm looking forward to come alongside you and us be together in being more effective lighthouses, to be more effective in our shining the gospel light. We're just vessels, aren't we? Aren't we just vessels, folks? That's all we are. But one thing we need to make sure, yes, we are weak vessels. But church, let's do something. Let's covet together to do our dead level best by the grace of God to be pure vessels, fit for the Master's use, so that we might be effective. You know, because the hope of this community and this country, our great country, is not going to come through the White House. It's not going to come through the government. It's not going to come through politics. It's not. It's not going to come from even a conservative talk show host, which I listen to from time to time. I'm not downing them. But have you ever heard, maybe you have, but have you ever heard one of those conservative talk show hosts give a clear presentation of the gospel? I haven't. Maybe you have. If you have, let me know. I want to listen to him or her. But the truth of the matter is, it comes back to the vessels that God has called. And Satan will do everything he can to stop this church from being the light we need to be. It is a vice of his. It is a plan of his to keep churches ineffective. And by the way, we're going to do our part. But it's very clear in the passage, in this passage, Paul said, look down there. It says in verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves. By the way, can I say something right there? We're not out here to this community to preach our standards. We will teach biblical principles that hold us and protect us and give us guidelines. But I am not going out to this community to preach standards. I'm going out in this community to preach Jesus. And when God gets a hold of their hearts and they get born again, I'll let the Holy Spirit, through the teaching of the Word of God, teach them the standards. We don't preach ourselves. We don't preach what we've done or accomplished. We preach Jesus. What a wonderful privilege. Amen. That's the light God wants us to be. He wants us to preach Jesus, Him high and lifted up. And holy He is. That's right. And when people get saved, yes, Jesus does expect a change. But we'll let Jesus change them. But we see here that He seeks the blind. But we also see He seeks to beguile. Look over in chapter 11. Chapter 11, Paul moves on forward, and Satan comes up again. He comes up again. This time, it's in the context of Satan beguiling the believer. Tricking, again, that word to deceive, to trick. Look there in verse 2. We'll look at two places. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 2 says, for I am jealous over you, Paul said, with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And that simply means to present you pure. To present you without being contaminated by a false gospel. And he goes on to say, verse 3, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you hear Paul's sentiments here? He said a godly jealousy. By the way, can I just say this real quick? It's okay to have a godly jealousy. What does that mean? A godly jealousy for your children. To be jealous for them in the sense that you don't want them to follow the ways of the world, the ways of Satan. Being jealous over them, having a godly jealousy over your church and wanting us to remain faithful and being together in the unity that we have. Being jealous over that in the sense of wanting to have that so desperately. A godly jealousy. If God can be jealous, we can be jealous. Amen? In the good way. There's also a sinful way of being jealous. But we want to be jealous as God was jealous. And as Paul was mentioning here, he had a godly jealousy over these. And he says, lest you be deceived. That's one of Satan's strategies, is to beguile God's children. And he knows how to do it, church. This right here, what does he say? Just from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's what Satan was going after. Now, again, I'm a simple kind of person, and I'm just going to put it out there as simple as possible. This is what he's saying. What had they got? How did Satan get a hold of them in this? This is it. They had lost their focus that Jesus is the main thing. It's Jesus and Him alone for salvation. It's Jesus and Him alone for sanctification. It was Jesus, the simplicity, the oneness. It almost, and there are other verses, I don't have time to go to it, but there are other verses of being single-minded. Hey, if there is a time to be a one-minded, a one-track person, you ever been accused of being a one-track person? Well, we need to be a one-track individual, and that one track needs to be pleasing the Lord Jesus. Singleness of mind, singleness of heart, the Word of God teaches, making pleasing the Lord Jesus in all that we do. We get so distracted, don't we, church, in life. We get so distracted with this and that in life and that in life, and we start to lose our focus, the oneness, the pureness of exalting Jesus through my life. And that settles a whole lot of questions, doesn't it? In our life, when we're struggling, when we're questioning, hey, let's just say, Lord Jesus, this is the one thing I want to do. I want to please You. That is why Jesus, He knows His children. Jesus knows us better than anybody. And that's why He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Loving Jesus, keeping Him as our center focus. And when we are honoring and loving Jesus as we ought, by the way, all the other will come natural. It will come natural. But they had lost that. They had gotten distracted. They had gotten corrupted. And something we need to be very careful of. Because look over there in the next verse in chapter 11. Look in verse 14. You better be on guard, friend. We better be aware. Why? Because look in verse 14. Chapter 11, we saw verse 2, then look at verse 14. I'll start with verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, demons, angels, fallen angels, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. False prophets, I think controlled by Satan, I honestly do, and who he's referring to. And by the way, guess who he's talking to here, church? He's talking to believers. Ask God daily to protect yourself from false teaching. I was just talking to a dear couple yesterday about how there are ones that can get extreme in their teaching and get off and end up being false doctrine. And they get away from the oneness of the Scriptures and the clearness of the Word of God. And Satan uses those things to bind churches. He uses that to halter growth. He's subtle and he has servants. Transformed to the angel of light. Hey, listen, I'm not sure. I may be talking to someone here this morning. And Satan is on you like you could never imagine. He's got a blueprint for you. And he's got a trap for you. And you could be nearing, just like that insect and that Venus flytrap, you could be nearing that trap because of some lies that you have listened to without comparing those things that have been said with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And it won't be long before it closes. And Satan will wreak havoc. We see that he beguiles the believer. May God help us not to be tricked. And by the way, what is one of the best ways that we can avoid being beguiled or being tricked? By the Word of truth and the Spirit of truth. This precious holy book given by God and the precious Holy Spirit given by God, God the Holy Spirit, together with those two, will protect us from falling for the lies that Satan is seeking to tell us. Fourthly and lastly, this morning, we see Satan buffets. He seeks to harm and hurt the believer. Yes, he beguiles the believer and he blinds the lost and he baits with bitterness. But lastly, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll see the Apostle Paul here being attacked by Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll begin reading in verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. By the way, that we shouldn't ever glory, okay? It's pretty clear there. If you glory in yourself, you're a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there were given to me a thorn in the flesh, get it now, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, Satan will not only attack the mind of the believer, but he will attack the body. Now, I'm not suggesting to you this morning that every sickness, that every ailment comes from Satan. I'm not suggesting that. But what I am saying, church, he will go after the body. Just like he goes after the mind, he will seek out to where he can cause harm to the body. But I'm thankful that God does not allow him to do any more than what he says. God holds him at bay. But the truth is, he is coming after us. And we must be ready. But one thing I want us to know about these things, when they do come to us in a physical form, when the attacks of Satan come after us physically upon us or upon a family member, one of the things we need to realize is it was sent. It was an appointed attack. It was allowed. It was appointed, but it was also allowed. God knows, just like with Job, he knew, but it was appointed for a reason. And that's why Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will maintain mine own ways before him. He had a heart after God, realizing that even those attacks, he could trust God. And do you know that even seeing that it was appointed to humble him, because we saw that was it. Even Paul saw the writing line. God did that to me because he knew how prideful I am. He knew it. And God will bring things into our life, and I think we could all sit up here and give a testimony if we had the opportunity, not maybe before the church, but just with people personally, things God has brought into our lives to humble us. And Paul came to the point in his spirituality, I think, to give an example to us. He was not a perfect man, but he even admitted this is clearly, he had pride. But God had something for that, and that was to help him. But this is something that not only was it appointed and accepted, but get this, and this is where, boy, again, it goes totally against the flesh. It was appreciated. Now that's when you know when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost and they are controlled by God. When I look at Brother Tim sitting in that hospital bed and that pain coming over his body and the things that he's going through, and he still gives praises to God, I know that man is controlled by the Spirit of God. He appreciates it. Not, he wants to get well. I'm not saying that, but he comes to the point where he realizes God's in control. And God's using this for His glory. I'm getting to talk to people in the hospital. Brother Jerry, Ms. Linda, we're getting to minister to all kinds of people. And that is a perfect example of what this passage is teaching. That he might be glorified. It was appreciated. He said, "Thy grace is sufficient." He realized his weakness was his greatest strength. Hey, you know one of the best ways you can do to make Satan's plan backfire on him? Anybody in here, by the way, anybody in here have a vehicle that's really good at backfiring? I don't know. Does anybody here have a vehicle that's really... I got to tell you this. I worked landscaping in Hilton Head, South Carolina for a summer, and I had this little Ford. It's probably about a 1986 Ford Ranger. That thing had the loudest backfire you could only imagine. I'm going to tell y'all something. I was bad, okay? It sounded like a shotgun. And when I would pull that trailer in these high-dollar subdivisions, C-pines, man, Dr. So-and-so running down morning jog, I couldn't resist. I had it timed perfectly, folks. What you had to do is you had to gun it down real good, get up to about 45 and then let off real fast, and then 5 seconds later, kaboom! That jogger hit the ground, folks. When I went by, and I'm not going to tell you what he did after he got up from the ground, but he was upset, and I thought it was funny, and those backfires, man, they affected people. Well, can I say something to you this morning, church? We want Satan's plans to backfire in his face. And the best way to do that is to give up bitterness and forgive people, to let God work in your heart and mind to keep you focused on Jesus, to be the light you need to be, to be that vessel you need to be. And then as we see, as God brings those trials in on our bodies and on our families, we just say, "God, we don't understand, but we give you glory." That, my friend, will cause Satan's plan to totally backfire. And that is something we have to be aware of. Seeing Satan in 2 Corinthians. And again, we don't need to fear Satan. We need to fear God. We need to be aware of Satan. We need to be vigilant and aware, like the Bible teaches. But our fear, first and foremost, comes through the God of heaven, who is our Father, who is our Savior, who is our Lord, and our protector, our refuge. That is who we look to, and that is who protects us from the attacks of Satan. That's why the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil." The first part is submit. Resist, and he will flee. We need to be aware, don't we? Maybe I'm talking to someone this morning, and quite frankly, you'd have to admit, you feel like your senses, your spiritual senses, have grown dull. You really don't even think about perhaps Satan having a plan for you and the things that he's trying to do in your life and wreak havoc. Perhaps you're just not aware and you're not being vigilant, and the senses have grown dull. Maybe you're realizing that you've been lulled and you've been tricked into a trap. Perhaps you're in the trap and you want to get out. Perhaps you're about to get in and you're saying no. Hey, I say listen to the Spirit of God. Do not let Him take you. We will not let Him take this church. God will preserve this church as we seek to submit to Him. Hey, why not this morning ask God, and I'm going to do it too, and I have been as I've been studying and preparing. Let's ask God to renew our senses and our awareness towards Satan's traps. Lord, make us aware. If there's a blind spot, dear God, please reveal that to me. If I am prideful in an area, if I'm being bitter in an area, if I'm being lazy, God, please reveal that to me. I believe we'll see revival in this church. I truly believe that. And perhaps I have a friend here this morning. Perhaps there's someone that you would have to say that you really, honestly, could not give me a Bible reason. A verse in the Bible. You couldn't go to the Bible and show me that you know you've been saved. You couldn't give me a Bible reason how you know you're going to heaven. Can I tell you very kindly, friend, Satan hath blinded you. If you can't give a Bible reason why you know you're saved, He has blinded you. And you don't have to be blinded. You can see the light of the gospel and you can respond to the gospel just like a child would respond. I'm thankful that Jesus says, suffer not the little children to come unto me. Suffer the children to come unto me. He says He wants them to come. He wants them to come to them in childlike faith. And that's what God wants us to do. If you're here this morning, can I say this? If you need to be born again, if you know you're not sure you're going to heaven, can I encourage you this morning during the invitation time, come forward. We'll take if you're a lady, we'll have a lady show you in the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven. If you're a man, we'll have a man to show you from the Bible. Can someone come with Diamond here? Can someone take him? Can I get a man to come? Mike, Brother Mike or Dan? We'll take you back here in a private room. Show you where you can be saved. Praise God. If there's anybody else that God's worked in your heart and you're tired of being lied to and you've been living a lie, thinking you know for sure you're going to heaven and you don't, I'm going to invite you to come forward in the invitation time and find out for sure, get it nailed down that you're on your way to heaven. And then, believer, as I said, let's be on guard. Let's be ready to battle. You know, I'm glad, friend, that we're on the winning side. Yeah, the devil's mean. He's real mean. He don't play fair. He's cruel. He's a cheat. He's a liar. But I'm thankful greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And you can say the same thing if you know Christ as your Savior. And we're on the winning side. And we can be thankful. We don't have to be sad. We can be thankful that God... In fact, I heard one preacher tell me one time, the devil got his teeth knocked out at Calvary. And all he's got now is dentures. He tries to show his teeth, but hey, listen. If we're linked up with God, there's no bite. He took away that at Calvary. He was defeated. He got knocked out. I love that little children's song. I debated whether I was going to try this or not, but Brother Mike talked me into it. No, he didn't. Well, we sing a little song at family devotions a lot. It's one of the kids' favorites. And just because I do this doesn't mean I'm going to sing solos, okay? But it's a good song that's just simple, but it's a song of victory. And it's a song that we can be thankful that God is with us. And He is the one that helps us overcome Satan. It simply goes like this. We are happy people, praise the Lord. We love the Bible, God's own word. Satan had a hold of me. Jesus came and set me free. By the blood of Calvary, we are made whole. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a good song. Because Satan did have a hold of me, but Jesus set me free. Have you been set free, friend? If you have been, have your senses been dulled? I say get that right today. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. As the pianist comes, I just want you to reflect a moment. I want you to reflect a moment upon your walk with God right now. And how are you facing the enemy? You have on the whole armor of God, which we didn't even deal with, but at a later time. Have your senses grown dull? Oh, ask the Lord to awaken, to freshen those senses. As you individually, as in your family, perhaps you are allowing Satan to get some strongholds in your family, step up today. Say no. I'm not going to let you. And if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you don't know for sure whether you have a home in heaven, I invite you to come at the invitation time and we'll be glad to show you in the Bible how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven. Would you stand with me, please? What song do we have, Brother Mike?
Hymn number 467, I Need Thee Every Hour.
You be obedient to God, friend.